Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. We are excited that you are with us. This is Reverend Terry Power, and I'm joined by my partner in crime tonight, Reverend Onyx. Are you there, man?
I am indeed. It just started sprinkling here tonight. It's been a beautiful day all day long, and I decided to get a little wet on it tonight.
Yeah, but we had snow. We had snow on Tuesday, and now it was in the 60s. It's only supposed to go down to about 50 tonight, and tomorrow it's supposed to be extremely warm and thunderstorms. Like, good grief.
I think she's trying to teach us that our weather forecasters don't know what the hell they're doing anyway.
I think she's just playing games.
Yeah, exactly. She's trying to tell us that, you know, you might think you know what's going on, but
This is the same creative force that gave us the platypus, so what can you say?
Yes, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Oh.
This is true.
All right. Say again?
I said, this is true.
Yeah, man. All right. So our questions tonight are, to my mind, I think kind of related to service, and that's what I put in the show announcement. So I thought, well, let's go ahead and get right to it.
That sounds good to me, bro.
Because I'm kind of excited about the topic. You know, this is in my wheelhouse anyway. Anybody that's listened to me on the radio in these last 4 years will know that we start talking about service food. Yeah, you got my attention. So the question is not really a question. Well, there's a question mark in there towards the end. So there's a paragraph here. So bear with me, everybody. And the question or the – well, here we go. I just moved from North Florida – where I was very active in a very active pagan community that I was happily a part of. Now I am living in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina. I have met two other pagans in the area, really just by chance. I saw her bumper sticker on her car at the local Piggly Wiggly. Now, those of you that are listening that don't know, Piggly Wiggly is a supermarket chain down south. So anyway, I was actually still loading my groceries in the car when she came back to hers, and she's the one that introduced me to the other lady. We'd like to start a group, and since of the three of us, I have the most experience, they are looking to me to lead it. However, I have never been a leader of anything before, let alone acted in the role of high priestess to others. Help. What do I do? How do I find more people to join? How do I start? I get the fact that the gods have called me to this for a reason, but I truly haven't a clue how to get started, and I don't want to disappoint my friends, the gods, or myself. Any and all advice would be welcome. Wow. That is a ton of stuff to work with. And my brother, I think I'm going to hand this one off and let you take a pass at it, and then I'll jump in with some of my thoughts.
That'd be a pleasure. First of all, as far as for those of you who don't know, I'm from South Carolina. I currently live in North Carolina, but I grew up in South Carolina. I was involved with the pagan community down there for many years. There are not very many places in South Carolina that is not thick with pagans. You just got to know where to look. So as far as finding other people, the very first thing I would say to do is if you do not have an account with the Witch's Voice, make that happen. It's with www.witchbox.com. That's witchvox.com. It's free. You can become a supporting member, and if you have the funds to do that, I would, you know, I'd advise that, because these guys up there, they do a wonderful thing, and their sponsors help pay their bills for them to keep that site up and running. Once you see the site, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a fabulous site. But you can look, go to your state's homepage, and look at members that have listed there. They're listed. Alphabetically by town. Each person has a profile and a way to contact them. There are group listings there. There are event listings there. There are notice listings there. All kind of ways to get in touch with people. And when I was in South Carolina, that was the way that we contacted each other or found each other. I was in upstate South Carolina. I don't know where this person is. But I do know that in the upper area of South Carolina, up around the Golden Triangle and all, the upper Piedmont area of Anderson, Greenville, Oconee counties, this area, it's thick with pagans, but they're very well hidden. Not very well hidden, but they're very well shaded. Very well shaded. There are a few places up in that area that you can go. Generally speaking, in South Carolina, from what I understand, from what I saw when I was there, look around places that sell incense. If they sell incense or coffee, you can usually find pagans around those areas. Bookstores. Look around bookstores. All those things that we love as pagans. Look around those areas. Get the word out on... Yeah, just get your word out in Wishbox, because if it's still the same now as it was a couple of decades ago or a decade and a half ago, that's how we communicated and that's how we contacted each other. Once you make contact with one or two others, one or two that are part of one or two other groups, the news will spread like wildfire in the underbrush. And you'll be introduced to a lot of people. Just to give you an idea, when we put together a meet and greet type thing to bring disparate groups and solitaires together back in the mid 90s, even we put the word out underground, Three Witch Box, things like this, people you knew, and we had a group of about 75 to 80 people show up. And that was all upstate South Carolina. So they're there. You just got to find out where they are and make contact with them. Now, the bigger issue, if you've never led anything, leading people, I don't care what the environment is, in one aspect is always the same. People are people. Leaders are first among equals, especially in our faith group. Leaders are servants to the people. I've heard it said that being the member of the high priesthood just means you get to sweep the floor when everybody else leaves. So you're there for your people. Always remember that. And always, in my opinion, one of the biggest things that you can keep in your mind is always do it for the cause, not the applause. So if you are truly led, you cannot do anything else but that. You cannot not be a priest or priestess. You cannot. Your insides won't allow it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Be upfront, be honest, and remember always, as a leader, you cannot push a rope. You have to pull it. You have to lead from ahead. You have to lead from the front. You lead by example. Be that shining example. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Everybody's going to make mistakes. The biggest issue is not making a mistake. The biggest issue is how you handle it when you do make a mistake. You're going to make a mistake. Don't allow those two people that have looked to you as a leader, don't allow them to put you on a pedestal. That may happen. Don't allow it. Tell them, look, don't put me on this pedestal because I'll bust my butt when I fall off. I don't have good balance. Don't let them do it. You're there with them. As a leader, be a guide, especially if you don't have any formal training or education or even informal training or education in leadership technique and leadership style. Just go with it. And that's kind of in the secular side of leading a group. But when you start talking in a spiritual sense, just listen. Listen. How many times has Terry said and I said, we've echoed it back and forth, if you want to know what to do, just sit down, shut up, and listen. Go to the divine by whatever name you call the divine in prayer and in meditation and listen. If you're truly called to do what you're being called to do, they will give you the tools that you need, and they will give you the guidance that you need. You're not always going to understand that guidance, and you're not always going to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Just trust the divine. Trust that inner divine, and you will not go wrong. You might make mistakes, but you won't go wrong. And another thing that I would say, once you start growing that group and you start, and the gods have put you out there in front, stay true to yourself. Our charge, the charge of the goddess, always stay true to your highest ideals. Never sway from it. Now let none sway you from it. Stay true to who you are. Because if who you are is, and you're talking to the divine, and who you are is being led by the divine, you're not going to go wrong. You might make mistakes, but you're not going to go wrong. If you make mistakes, admit those mistakes, own those mistakes, pick up and drive on, because it's how you handle when you make a mistake that's more important than not making a mistake. It's all about being there for your people and listening to the divine. I think that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Trust yourself, because yourself, inside, the inner divine is there. The divine will come out if you allow it. And don't be afraid to allow it to come out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have a problem tonight, though.
Okay.
We can't have 2 weeks in a row where we're agreeing.
No. People are going to start wondering. People going to start talking about us.
you kind of stole my thunder, and you did it at the end, but I was going to lead with it. I was going to go straight to that whole point about what do I do? What do I do? Well, you pray. You ask.
Yes, exactly.
If you believe that the gods or the holy ones or whatever term you use, I guess the writer used the gods. Yeah, I get the fact that the gods have called me to this for a reason. Okay, well, ask the gods for help. You know, that's first and foremost. As a leader of a group, particularly in the high priesthood,
mm-hmm.
First and foremost, we are supposed to speak and guide from our own guidance from the divine for the group.
Mm-hmm.
That does not preclude each individual's connection to the divine, but we do, to a certain degree, represent on the group level, we represent the holy ones, the divine, whatever term you use. And if we sit down and listen, as I am so wont to say, and Onyx correctly pointed out, if we ask the question and then sit and listen for the answer, we very often get the answers we need. Maybe not the ones we're looking for, maybe not the answers we want, but we almost always get the answers we need if we listen. Everyone who is called to leadership, whether it's in a faith community or in any other kind of club, there's a reason for it. In our faith communities, in particular, we are called to serve. I find it interesting that the question of service comes up tonight. And I don't know, Onyx, if you've already figured out where I'm getting ready to go with this.
Oh, yeah.
But
smack it down.
Yeah. So here we go. And I look forward to your letters, cern.org@gmail.com.
Yeah, absolutely. I got my fireproof underwear on, too.
Those of you that know me or have listened to me for any period of time know that I was raised Episcopalian or Anglican, American Anglican, Catholic light, however you want to refer to it. And I used to teach Anglican theology. And we are entering the most solemn and meaningful part of the liturgical year, and tonight is Maundy Thursday. And of all of the times of the year, of all of the services that I attended throughout the liturgical year, all the classes I taught, all the times I spent serving at the altar or carrying or holding a chalice or whatever it was I was doing, this night was always one of the most meaningful to me, because part of the service in many churches, not just in the liturgical churches, was a foot washing, where the priest or other leader washed the feet of the people attending the service.
Mm-hmm. That's even in the tangents out Protestant faiths as well, not just the Anglicans, Episcopalians. You see it in the Methodists and some Presbyterians do it.
Oh, yeah.
There are a few Baptists that do it. I mean, it's quite,
exactly.
It's more common than you would think.
Oh, absolutely, because mm-hmm. it really points out and reminds everyone, especially the priest or pastor or whatever that leader is called, it reminds them that they are not called to be served, but rather to serve.
And can I get a witness?
Yeah, and you know, those of us that recognize that if you read the red letters, there's some good stuff in there. And Jesus was a pagan, you know, in so many ways. Teaching an individual personal relationship with the divine, accepting responsibility for your own spirituality. So many of the things that we teach, if you read just the red letters. So, with that in mind, the whole concept that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples as a demonstration of the fact that he was called to serve, that is such an amazing and powerful commentary and a demonstration of humility and service, mm-hmm. and a constant reminder to the Christian leaders that pay attention to that, and those of us that come from that background that can embrace those aspects of it without, you know, without the histrionics and the rebellion and throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can look for the good stuff in every faith, let's make that also include the Christian faith, because there's some good stuff there. You know, I mean, they got a lot wrong in 2,000 years, but, you know, they got a lot right in 2,000 years, too. I mean, they did, you know. So, you know, and this one is one of the things that I think they got right.
I think if we go, if we could take a time machine and go forward to, say, 2150, you know, just 200 years forward, and look at where our faith group is, I'm sure we're going to make a lot of mistakes too. But one of the things I've always said is that, you know, we talk about all the bad things that has been, that's come through or come from Christendom, but there's been a lot of good things too. And if we can look at where they have been and we can take lessons from that, we don't have to take their theology so much, you know, if we don't agree with it, but the way they do things, the whole concept of service, what does the word minister mean? You know, think about that. You know, when if we look at the things that went right and we can pattern that over to our theology, our cosmology, and we also look at the things that went wrong and we can learn from their mistakes, then, you know, we have a much better chance of not making those same mistakes because they've already made them. And if we'll just watch and look and listen and learn, then they're going to save us from making some of the same mistakes. Maybe they won't like the ideas they did, but it's true. They can if we just watch, if we just learn. We're all in this together. We're all going after the same thing. We're all going after that relationship with the divine. We all going at different paths. But what does it matter? You know, if we're all going the same direction, we can still be brothers in faith, brothers and sisters in faith, even if we call the divine by different names.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just occurred to me as you were saying that, you know, different paths, but we're all going the same place. And it actually mm-hmm. occurred to me in one of those brief, one of those flashes of insight that demonstrate that I'm being guided here. My roommate, while I'm over here working in Allentown, you know, I go home on the weekends, but while I'm over here, I stay with a friend, and he and I leave work at different times, and we take different roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very little of the path of the route we take coming back here is the same, and yet we end up in the same house just because we're on different roads, just because we're on different paths, doesn't mean that they don't all go the same place.
Right. I have a story. Fable call it. Some people have heard me tell this story before, but there is an island in the middle of nowhere. There's no power. You know, no outside communication, no motor vehicles, no modes of transportation other than your feet. And everything is provided for the inhabitants of this island, but the only thing they have to do is grow wheat. And in the middle of this island is a huge mountain. And up this mountain are several different paths. The idea is at the end of the harvest, everyone has to take their own wheat to the top of the mountain for the miller, who happens to be blind. So at the top of the mountain is this blind miller, and everybody has to take their own wheat. Nobody can take anybody else's wheat or assist them in taking that wheat. There are several paths up this mountain. Some of them are circuitous and easy to traverse. Some of them are straight up the mountain. Some of them are more moderate. But the idea is there's so many different ways to get up this mountain so that everybody can make it up this mountain. Some of them very quickly, some of them not so quickly, but everybody on that island has the ability to make it to the top of this mountain, and everybody must make it to the top of this mountain carrying their own wheat. When they get to the top of the mountain and they present their wheat to the miller always asks one question. That blind miller always says, he doesn't ask what path you took. He says, how good is your wheat? And that's the bottom line. It doesn't matter how we get there. How good is your wheat?
Very good. There's a lot of room for thought in that one.
Absolutely. You know me and the thought seeds.
Yeah, man. Or in this case, the thought wheat.
Yeah, I thought wheat, yeah. Then, of course, you can go off on the tangent, separating the wheat from the chaff, and yeah.
There we go. See, it just, you know, it just takes another turn and off the race.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited at the topics, at the theme of the questions tonight, and the opportunity to talk about service. You know, there are times, and there will be times for every leader, where we don't want to get up and do the things we need to do. We know that someone needs us. We know that there's a task that needs doing, something that we've committed to. And, you know, it's going to be, at times, a burden in those moments. Okay, again?
So I tell my people that I am just as much a priest at 3 a.m. as I am at 3 p.m., and I mean that. Many of my people have called me in the middle of the morning. Wake me up. I just get to sleep. Hey, I need you. I got to go. Because it's what we do.
Yeah.
We're there for our people. And I, you know, heavens bless the families of every minister who has ever trod the path, because sometimes they have to take a back seat.
Yeah.
Heaven bless every single family member of every minister who has ever trodden the path, because sometimes they have to take a back seat.
Yeah, and we do the things we do out of love and out of commitment. You know, and yeah, we just do them.
Yeah.
We listen to the call. We listen to the guidance that we get from the divine. And we do the things that we do. And we answer the call at 3 in the morning or at 4 in the afternoon, whenever it is.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those.
I firmly
believe, like I said earlier, I firmly believe that if a person is called, if a person is called by the divine to be in a ministerial role, they cannot not be a minister. You can't do it. You can't turn it off. There's a drive inside that you can't avoid. There's no way around it. You will be, and if you're called, that call will be, and that drive will be so strong to serve and so strong to help in any way you can that you can't not do it.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. There is no way that I cannot be a priest.
Right.
It's not what I do, it's who I am. And I can't be anything but what I am, and being true to that, and listening to the guidance and answering the call.
There's a question in the chat room that Afterfo posts, and I'd like to address it if I could. He says, what do you see service is for a solitary pagan? Well, in my opinion, I've got the flame retardant underwear on. A solitary pagan is not necessarily a leader. They're a priest or priestess unto themselves, absolutely. But the service should be to themselves and to their God, not necessarily to the community. That doesn't make a solitary pagan any less of a pagan or any less of a witch or whatever you want to call it. It's just simply a different form of what we do. Whereas a leader, a spiritual leader, it doesn't matter what faith group it's in. Consider this. Is there a difference between a Methodist minister and a very religiously driven person who never attends church? If the connection to the divine can be just as strong, and in some cases could be more strong. But the call is different. The connection is there, the connection is just as strong. The call is different for someone who doesn't attend church as someone who ministers for a church. Not any different, one's not any better than the other. It's just a difference in the way we interact.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And I like Robin's answer, because she takes that service not to a community, but service to nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of a group of people that did an Adopt-a-Highway cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
Served nature, served the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't necessarily serve other people, mm-hmm. Functioning as a solitary, but did some form of service to the universe and essentially to the community by helping clean up.
Agreed.
And
absolutely.
You know, being true to our calling. I mean, you know, we talk about being good to nature all the time, living green and all these kind of things. Adopt-a-Highway cleanup programs should be thing that every pagan group does. You know, that's,
I agree.
That's a really good opportunity to put our actions where our mouths are.
Mm-hmm. We tried that here at LCA.
So,
but we really did. We tried two different times, and unfortunately the red tape was so thick to get it done, to get it in place, that what we do now is we just don't officially do it. We just clean up where we go and everything, you know. The paperwork involved and the indemnity statements and sign off on this and sign off on that and do this. You know, the packet was blasted to damn near half an inch thick to get everything done, and everybody had to be listed. We finally just said, you know, if this is what it takes just to have our name on a sign, we're not doing it for the applause anyway. Let's just go out and pick up trash.
Yeah. All right, well, we are at the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and take a short break. And we're going to listen to a song by Emerald Rose called Dagger of the Moon. And then we're going to have a little bit of business. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes. So stick around, listen to the song, listen to the business cut, and we'll be right back. Thanks for sticking around. Thank you.
there a song that invests the storm, a cavern in spring and fall, with its cadence and starlight, the blistered palm holding its tune? And would you still stand here caught alone with the baying of blood-eared hounds, and suffer facing the serpent's bite, the dagger of the moon? Sing the heart of the water, shape the dun clay, see the fire, sink on the wind, spread your wings and fly high. Let the mirror call you, touch your doorway, no desire, but open it not, lest you surely die. In a secret round, on cloven step the circle spoke, in salted sands and tidal runes. I hear you a song that enchants the storm, a dormant ringing mouth, beyond the cloth of astral smoke, without the strident clock rites tune. Open your eyes and let it move. Dagger of the moon.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address, If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
Coolest music on the station. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Cower, and I'm joined by my partner in crime and my brother, Reverend Onyx. How you doing, man?
I am hanging in there, still doing the do.
All right.
Do the do every day that is and why.
Now, there you go. Right. So before the break, we were talking about that first question. And, yeah, we basically were talking about leaders listening to the guidance from the divine, listening to the guidance from the divine. And then we got off on a tangent about service. And I think that that's real important. And, of course, like I said, that's in my wheelhouse. And back when I was working as a mentor, with the school, I would ask that question of everyone. You know, every one of my students that I worked with, so you want to be clergy. You want to be a servant. Are you a servant at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Onyx, you've already mentioned that. So, you know, those are some of the things that we talked about before the break. Now we have another question to jump into, and this one is no less important. And again, it's another one that's got quite a bit to read, so I'm going to read this. I'm going to throw it over to you, Onyx, and get your thoughts. And we're already at about 10:43, so we may run just a little long tonight, so we both have some time to throw at this question. So, many years ago, I was very active in my local community as the high priest of a large coven. I had been the high priest of our group for 8 years and had given everything, even lost relationships in my life, I'm sure, because of my strong ties in the group. So when the high priestess had to move away and the rest of the group fell apart, my heart broke. It was as if my family had abandoned me. After my coven broke apart, I was angry, hurt, and disillusioned. It's been 10 lonely years, and I am considering going back into the community. I still know a few people, but I am cautious. I was so burnt out. Recently, however, some of the members of my old coven have formed a new group with the remnants of another coven and have asked me to come to join them as their high priest. I'm happy and flattered that they sought me out, but I am seriously asking myself if I want to go back into having that responsibility again. help me to remember what and why we dedicate ourselves to the high priesthood path. I am in need of some soul-searching material and, frankly, maybe just a good old-fashioned pep talk. And this is somebody in Oregon sent this in. So, Onyx, take it away.
Sure. I love this question. There's a lot to deal with here. And lonely in Oregon, the things that I'm going to say to you and the things that I'm going to say come from my heart and only in the best fashion. I've been through this, and in a sense, active in the community, group, left the group fell apart, different things happened. I was hurt, I was lonely, I was angry, same type thing. So I know where you're coming from. And what got me out of it was a young man came to me one day, a young man my age, came to me one day, and I was talking to him about it, and he asked me a very pointed question. He said, "Well, why are you hurt that the group fell apart? Why do you feel abandoned because the group fell apart? Don't you think that during your time there that you provided your people the opportunity to strengthen their wings and fly on their own? Isn't that what you were there for? Or were you there because you liked being the high priest?" And I thought about that. And I said, you know, when I first got involved, it was all about helping. And then as I started to see some of the results, this was an afterthought. This was in retrospect, many, many years later. I looked back at it and I realized that where I had started and had become the high priest of this group, this very active group, very committed group, it changed somewhere in there, and I couldn't tell you where. And now that the group was gone, I felt abandoned. And that was a pride issue. They abandoned me. How dare them abandon me? I gave them everything. I did everything I could. I spent hours with them. I talked to them. Why did they abandon me? That's a pride issue. That is pride talking. Or at least it was for me. And when I realized that groups come together for a reason and they go apart for a reason, if you try to force the issue or try to force that group to stay together, you're not going to do anything positive anyway. And if you attach ego to your position as a member of the high priesthood, you're going to set yourself up for a lot of hurt, because people are going to come in, they're going to ask for your help, they're going to be guided in, they're going to ask for your help, you're going to give them that help and guidance, you're going to hold the lantern for them while they walk along the same path or the similar path that you are, but eventually they're going to go off onto a different path. Them following their own heart and them following their own path, even though it might blow up in a personal thing, is not a personal thing. Think of it. They may need that personal explosion to give them the go-ahead, the boot in the butt to go their own direction. Don't take it personally. Disconnect your pride. If that's what it is, disconnect your pride from that. And remember that we're doing this for everyone that comes along our way, for as long as they are with us. And when they go off on their own, especially if they go off on their own and they form other groups themselves, or they get involved with other groups and it becomes a positive experience, look at it and go, wow, look what the divine blessed me for being the vessel to help these people fly on their own. And own that. Own the fact that the divine has worked through you to help them be where they are, even if it's not with you. And the fact that, you know, you're right in here that, that some of your old members have sought you out to be the high priest in their new group, what does that tell you? They sought you out. They looked for you specifically because something that you did, somehow that you were, something that you were about, stayed in their minds and stayed in their hearts. And when they come back together as a group, they go, look, you know, we really want this to work, and we really want Lonely in Oregon to be the leader here. We want this person. And they look for you. If you need a little pump on ego to get back involved, consider that. But don't attach the ego to it. Go where you're led. Go where you're led. You won't go wrong. It goes back. It goes back to what we talked about earlier. Pray. Connect to the divine. Go where the divine wants you to go. Do what the divine wants you to do. And detach ego from it. Be who you are. And you are that high priest that touched the lives of those people who are now coming back to you. That's where you are.
All right. That touches on a couple of topics. And again, you went at the end where I was going to go at the beginning. because, I mean, that's almost always my answer. Someone says, well, you know, I need guidance about such and such. And my usual lead question is, have you asked the divine for guidance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm flattered, but why are you starting with me? Because, you know, I'm glad that you think I have the answers, but, you know, you probably get better answers if you start with the divine. So, a friend of mine says all the time that when we attach expectations to others, we are setting ourselves up for resentment. And it sounds like there was a little attaching of expectations going on in this story. And I understand that. You know, I have become very conscious in the last few years of how I placed expectations on others, and then when they didn't follow along with my expectations, then there were, you know, then I was hurt or angry or, you know, whatever negative reaction I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just setting myself up for that.
Right.
We talked Tuesday night about setting aside ego and that total surrender to will of whatever being a means of learning the mystery. And, you know, that applies here as well. There is a point where we have to surrender our ego and listen to the guidance of the divine. If these people are seeking out this guy in Oregon, then you know, that's probably an indication that he's being called back to service. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You had a break. It's been nice. Now get your get up off your ass and get back.
That's
to
right. Get back to work. That's right. Vacation's over. Get back to work.
I think that's probably what's going on here, and it's time to listen, it's time to pray again, it's time to it's time to reconnect, because if the person is feeling what I'm reading in this, they're feeling a disconnect from the divine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the great beauty of the situation is that we cannot. The divine never goes anywhere.
Right.
That perception.
The disconnect
of,
is an illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That disconnect is an illusion. That delusion of distance, of separation, of aloneness. is part of our human delusion. And it is only us that can move away, because the divine is right there waiting for us. The divine, by whatever name you call, is always with us. We can feed the flame, or we can deny the flame, but it never goes out. And when we remember that, then we can find that connection, deepen that connection again. It's not find it, it's there. Just look. It doesn't need to be found, it needs to be acknowledged. Feed that and deepen that connection once again. And when we do that, the answers we need are always there. I like what Onyx had to say about these people that felt empowered to take flight, kicking the baby birds out of the nest and watching them fly for a little bit. Now everybody comes back together after a time apart, after a time flying on their own. And now it's time to come back together and build something new, something different. It's a pretty cool thing. We cannot, as leaders or as anyone, place expectations on others and then expect not to be hurt. Right. We place expectations on others and we are going to find resentment. Because people aren't going to dance to, you know, dance on strings like we want them to.
Right.
You know, they cannot live up to that.
Pardon the background noise. I stepped outside for a moment, and some guy wanted to prove that he had a loud muffler. I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's okay. I feel sorry for him and his, you know, whatever it is he's compensating for.
Yeah, really. Here's a tangent that just flashed in my mind. You know, we kind of, in the other topic we were in, when we were talking about service, we kind of mixed in some of the Christian thoughts and into what we're thinking, too. Now, consider this, and it never really hit home to me, something that is in the Bible. It never really hit home, the message of that, until I was a psych major. Some of the children come unto me. You know, only with the heart of a child can enter the kingdom of heaven. We know that when Jesus was talking and he said that the kingdom of heaven is within, the kingdom of God is within, that connection is within. We understand that as pagans. But when we talk about ego, it never really dawned on me what that was talking about, that some of the children come unto me. But small children do not have a developed ego. That develops in mid-childhood. So think about that, you know, only with the heart of a child. Well, children don't have that ego drive. Put that in your pipe and smoke it for a little while. Look at that old shit and grow. You talk about the ego. What's standing in our way? What's standing between us and our understanding that the divine is within? It's the ego.
It's the exactly. Ego. That's what we talked about Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. Only with the heart of a child, when a child doesn't have that ego drive. It's right there. Even in Christian theology, it's right there. And it's something we all need to understand. When we're ego-driven, we do not see the connection as well as when we're not ego-driven. And we're all guilty of it.
When we surrender our ego.
When
we surrender the ego, then we can.
We're all guilty of it.
But when we surrender that, then we can find the mysteries. We can learn the truth.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I've found throughout my walk is that just because you surrender the ego doesn't mean that ego is not going to come back and bite you again. It's a continual process. we should strive, in my opinion, we should strive every moment of every day to keep that ego in check. We're not always going to be successful, but we can always strive for it. We can always strive for it. Listen to the divine. Listen inside. That divine is within. Terry and I both preach this over and over and over again. We cannot be disconnected from the divine because we are eminently divine, period. There is no other way. That's just the fact. When we think we're separated from the divine, that's because we're thinking we're separated from the divine. It is an illusion, or I love the way you put it, Terry, a delusion. But we cannot be separated.
Absolutely.
We are eminently divine.
Absolutely. All right, partner, we're at the top of the hour, and I think you've given your final thought for the night.
Yes.
Not to cut you off.
I was looking at the clock.
That's
the reason I was. No, absolutely. I was looking at the clock, and I went ahead and just threw it out there.
Yeah, you went ahead and did
anticipating
your final
the end of the hour.
Mm-hmm. Good job. All right. So go ahead and tell people how to get in touch with you.
It is very simple to contact me. Just go over to ladyofthecircle.org. You can find out everything I want you to know about me. And if you look close enough, you might be able to find out some things I don't want you to know about me. But it's really easy. Ladyofthecircle.org. That is the website for Lady of the Circle and the Oaks, which is a proto-temple of the Karelian tradition here in Thomasville, North Carolina. You can find out all the little pines that I've got my dirty little fingers into. Heck, there's even a phone number there.
All right, cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and throw out my contact information. The easiest way to find me still is Facebook page, Rev Terry Power HP, or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. You can also look at Little Stonebridge Pathworking and email me at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Or at the station, of course, cern.org@gmail.com. That's cern.org@gmail.com. All right, so my final thoughts on the evening kind of mirror yours. Or echo yours, rather.
Say it isn't so. We're starting to agree.
I'm telling you,
two weeks in a row.
We're gonna have to find some questions we disagree about. Tonight has really been in my wheelhouse. This is something that I have that I've preached for 15 years. The answer to almost any question of calling and guidance is to ask the divine for guidance. I used to teach a meditation workshop down in Barbados, and the first thing we taught was how to connect to that divine light within us and how to feed that light, that flame, that spark, whatever it is that you symbolize or that you see in your mind when you think of it. That's the first thing we talked about, was connecting with that, seeing it, acknowledging it, knowing that it is always there. And if we acknowledge it and feed it, it will grow and fill us. And if we deny it or ignore it, it will diminish, but it will never go out and it will never leave us. So the answers we seek are most often simply in the asking. But don't ask a person. I mean, sometimes the person will be guided and will provide the answer that you need because they are guided. And if you have someone in your life that you trust in that way, then that's wonderful. But that does not preclude finding quiet space in your home, lighting a candle, dimming the lights, turning off the phone, doing whatever it is that helps you to get quiet and still. Ask the question of the divine and then listen. and listen with your heart, not with your ego. Because when we get our egos involved and think too much about shit, it usually turns out bad. So if we listen openly with our hearts, then the answers are always there. And that, my friends, is my final thought on the evening. So I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. There was some great conversation going on in the chat room. Even most of it was about the topic tonight. There was a divergent conversation going on about rodents, predators, and other pests, and that was kind of interesting as well. Guys, if you're listening to this in the archives or if you're listening to this on some medium other than logging into Blog Talk Radio and joining in the chat room, you're missing a whole lot of the show. We try to reference some comments in the chat room from time to time, particularly when they're pertinent to the conversation at hand or a question that is asked of us. Generally, the easiest way to get our attention is to put a name in front. Throwing a question out there will sometimes get missed, but if you throw one of our names in there, the name of the host or one of the hosts, as a general rule, that gets our attention a little more quickly.
If everybody's running really quickly in the chat room and you're afraid that your question might scroll off before we can get to it, you can always private message one of us. And to do that in the chat room, just double-click on our names, and it'll open up another small window, and you can send that message directly to us. I mean, you can post it in the chat room as well so that other people see it. But if you're afraid that it's going to roll off because it only rolls back so far, we can only roll back so far, and if you're afraid it might be missed, just private message one of us, and it'll pop up on our screen, and we'll have it right there in our face, and we can't miss it. Well, I'm blind half the time, so.
Yeah, well, I get excited about the show, and I don't look at the chat room as much as I should sometimes. And Robin is also reminding me that there was a conversation about singing bowls going on in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
That needed to be mentioned. So, again, if you're not in the chat room, you're missing a good bit of the show. I want to, again, thank everybody for being with us. Onyx, thank you, as always, for joining me on Thursday nights. It's always cathartic, and it's always good to vent my spleen. Last couple of weeks, we've not really had much venting. Saying this again.
That'll happen.
Particularly on a night like Monday, Thursday, it's pretty cool to have a conversation about service. And about our connection to the divine and deepening that connection. So, with all of that said, I guess there's nothing left but to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Blessed be everybody.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.